This morning, I'm actually going to start a series entitled Proverbial Personalities, and I'm going to give you an overview of each of the individuals that King Solomon, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, describes in the book of Proverbs. And of course, a proverb, by definition, is simply a short, effective statement that imparts wisdom, prudence, and knowledge. And it can also be defined like as a riddle. You often read the book of Proverbs, and sometimes it seems a little obscure, seems a little ambiguous. And it's for that reason that, you know, often the Bible also describes a proverb as a dark saying, okay? You need someone to shed light on it, or other portions of scriptures to really shed light on that particular proverb in order to gain the understanding of it. And the book of Proverbs is 31 chapters of basically continuous statements that communicate nuggets of wisdom that really universally apply to everyone, not just Christians. Because often we think, well, the whole Bible is for Christians, and that's obviously true. But when you read the book of Proverbs, these are statements and applications that anybody can apply. Because it talks about working hard, being faithful to your spouse, you know, how to succeed in this world. It's simply giving you nuggets of wisdom, prudence, and knowledge to apply to your life. And the purpose behind the book of Proverbs is to give wisdom, is to give you wisdom and to make wisdom a priority in your life, okay? And let me say this, you know, a lot of Christians can actually become godly. God wants you to be godly. A lot of Christians can become godly and Christ-like, but still lack wisdom, okay? And the goal of every Christian should be that we want to be godly, we want to be Christ-like, but we also want biblical wisdom in order to, you know, have a successful life here in this world in order to make wise decisions. There are people out there that have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge, the Bible says, okay? And in fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. He says, wisdom is extremely important. You need to make sure that you try to obtain wisdom, get it. And with all thy getting, make sure you understand what that wisdom is trying to teach you. Solomon, of course, is the one who wrote the book of Proverbs. He wrote approximately 3,000 of them. And Proverbs is one of the books that are known as the poetic books. You have the book of Proverbs, you have Psalms, Ecclesiastes, and Job. And they all impart some form of wisdom that will help us in our day-to-day lives. Now, Proverbs is also a book written of probabilities. So in other words, if you do this action, this is the result you're going to get. Okay, if you commit this sin, this is what's going to happen to you. It's talking about the cause and effect of life. And it's also a formula for success. Now, this morning, I'm going to be focusing on one of the prominent individuals in the book of Proverbs, because there's many types of people that the book of Proverbs talks about. And this morning, we're going to talk about the simpleton, or as the Bible also puts it, the simple person, the simple man, the simple woman. Now, what does it mean to be simple? What is the definition of being simple? Well, when you and I think of someone who is simple or something that is simple, it's something that's easy to be understood. It's not complex. It's not elaborate. It's something that's made easy, right? And the Bible uses that definition as well, because the Bible talks about the simplicity which is in Christ, right? And we often think about salvation, for example. Salvation is very easy. Getting saved is something that is very easy. It's very simple. It's not complex at all. All it requires for you to do is believe on Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. That's very simple, right? That formula for salvation is extremely easy to be understood. All you have to do is place your faith in Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. And so that is definitely a definition that we see in the Bible, but it can also refer to someone who is without knowledge, okay? They're ignorant, they're absent of the complexities of knowledge. In our modern vernacular, people would often say this, they're stupid, okay? And I know that's, people get offended really easy just when you use that word, but that's basically what it means. You're just without knowledge, you're ignorant, you don't really understand. There are people who are without discernment, and simplicity simply a void, okay? So here's the thing with this matter of being simple, being simple-minded, is that it's not always good and it's not always bad. Because the Bible commands us to be simple concerning evil. In other words, not necessarily know the complexities of that which is evil and wicked, not know all the details of all the wicked things of this world or the things that the devil puts forth. But it also means that you can be simple concerning that which is good. In other words, you don't really know what the Bible says about cause and effect of sin, about righteousness. So it could either be good or bad. It's simply having a deficit of knowledge, You understand? Of good or bad. But here's the thing. You know, we want to be simple concerning evil, okay? But we don't want to be simple concerning the things of God. You understand? We don't want to be children, because often the Bible relates simplicity to children. You know, children are very simple-minded. They don't really understand a whole lot. We as adults, especially as Christians, we definitely don't want to be simple concerning the things concerning God, because of the fact that if we are, we're going to suffer the consequences of it, okay? And the goal of the simple is to be wise, all right? So we want to exercise ourselves unto godliness. We want to learn righteousness. We want to pursue these things. We want to pursue charity and holiness and these things that will please the Lord. But equally, we also want to learn wisdom, okay? We want to learn how to discern things. You're in Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 19. The Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So when you study the Word of God, often God describes His Word as being the Word of God. It describes it as being precepts. It describes it as statutes. But it also describes it as testimonies. Now, when you think of that word testimony, you think of, well, a testimony of a person, right? You know, what they represent, what their life brings forth. And the testimonies of the Lord, in my opinion, is referring to the stories of the Bible. When we look at the testimonies of the Lord, the stories of the Bible, we see the mistakes that people have made. And if we learn from that, we gain wisdom. Okay? You know, it's better to learn wisdom, not necessarily from your own experience, but from the bad experiences of others. Okay? You know, you don't necessarily need to get drunk, you know, to get in a crazy car accident or to get a DUI or to get molested or raped, right, in order to know that alcohol is bad. You can learn that from someone else's experience. And in fact, guess what? The Bible has all of those except for car accidents. You know, it has all those in here. When you read the testimonies of the Lord, you say, well, according to this, alcohol is bad, so I'm going to stay away from it. You just gain wisdom. So your simplicity in the area of alcohol has now been eradicated by adhering to the testimonies of the Lord, the stories of the Bible. Folks, the stories of the Bible are not just there to entertain you, although a lot of times they're very entertaining. They're there to teach you. This is what you do if you want to be successful. This is what you don't want to do if you don't want to be, you know, if you don't want to be a failure, if you don't want to fall into sin or destroy your life. Make sure you adhere to the testimonies of the Lord. Why? Because they're sure. They make wise the simple. They will increase your knowledge. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." So if we want to gain wisdom and not be simple-minded, we need to start with the Word of God. Not with the wisdom of this world. Not with the books of this world. Not to say that, you know, there's not books out there that can give us wisdom, but the source of wisdom is the Word of God. Okay? So when we want to move from being simple-minded to being a wise person, we need to start at the entrance of God's Word, read God's Word, learn God's Word in order to gain simplicity, in order to gain wisdom and get away from simplicity. Look at Proverbs 1 and verse number 1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity." Look what it says here. "To give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion." So at the end of the day, we all start simple-minded. Especially, you know, as children, we start simple-minded. But even as we grow as adults, we get experience, but then we're still simple concerning the things of God. And what God is saying is this. He wants to give you subtlety. Subtlety is discernment. Subtlety is being able to understand situations and have wisdom and experience. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, I'm going to give you just a couple points regarding the characteristics of the simple person, okay? And this is important for you to know because, you know, you might be a simple person today. Don't be offended by that. It's just fact. It just happens to everyone. We all start simple-minded at one point or another. And if this is you, you need to apply these principles in order to move from simplicity to being a man of wisdom, being a woman of knowledge and discretion, okay? This is extremely important. So you're in Proverbs chapter 1. First and foremost, let me give you a couple characteristics here. Number one, the simple can love simplicity to their detriment. The simple can actually love simplicity to their detriment. How many of you have ever heard this statement before? Ignorance is bliss. You ever heard that before? Ignorance is bliss. If I don't see it, I don't hear it, you know, if I don't know about it, it's not gonna do me any harm. Well, you know, to a certain extent, that can be true, but more often than not, it's actually false. Because of the fact that we need to make sure that we gain wisdom, not of evil, not of wickedness, but gain godly wisdom in order to not fall to the traps of this world, of Satan, of temptation, etc. Look what verse 22 says of Proverbs 1. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Now, when I think of this, I can also think of a church, for example, where sometimes people come to church, they hear preaching, and they're like, I don't really want to read the Word of God for myself. The less I know, the better. You know what I mean? I don't want to know all this stuff about the Bible because then I'm accountable for more. You know, what if I run into things I don't understand? I'd rather just read the book of John or something, which is a great book. But you know, you got to move on from that and move on to wisdom. Well, you know, I'm just afraid that I'm going to read something that God's going to require something of me, or, you know, he's going to require commitment. Well, you know, you already have a little bit of wisdom there because, yeah, he is going to require that of you. Okay, but don't love simplicity. He says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? You know, or you're like, I want to go to a church where they just kind of give me a Psalm 23 type sermon for 24 weeks or whatever. You know, just encourage me. No, why don't you attend a church where they actually teach you doctrine? They go down deep into doctrine. They teach you the depths of the Word of God, and they transform you from being simple-minded to being wise. Don't love simplicity. Now, look, I love the simplicity of salvation, but I also love the complexity of the other doctrines found in the Word of God. Amen. Like, oh, I don't really like complexity, so I'm just going to stay away from the book of Revelation. I'm just going to stay away from the book of Daniel. It's too complex. It's too crazy. It's too elaborate. There's too much in there. Well, you know, don't be simple-minded concerning the book of Revelation, especially in the day and age in which we live, amen? We need to know what's going on. We need to read the Word of God. And you know, we need to understand, have an understanding of the times. You understand? And so, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So the simple one is actually coupled with the scorner and the fool. Now, they're not all the same, but they do share some of the same characteristics. Because the fool hates wisdom. But here's the thing, he knows wisdom. He just hates it. You understand? The scorner knows wisdom and he laughs at it. He knows what the Bible says, but he scorns at it. He laughs at it. He mocks it. The simple one doesn't know knowledge, doesn't have prudence, doesn't have wisdom. And here's the kicker, all three of these are going to suffer the same consequences. So even though the simple guy is noble, maybe he has a good heart, maybe he has the right intentions, he's going to suffer the same consequences as the fool and as the scorner because he is absent. He has a deficit of knowledge. He will suffer the same consequences regardless of his intentions. Okay? So the goal should be not to love simplicity. If you understand that you're simple-minded today, hey, there's your first step into moving on to knowledge and wisdom and prudence. He says in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Now, what does this insinuate? It insinuates that you don't have to remain simple-minded. Right? It means you don't have to stay that way. I'm just dumb. I just don't understand anything. I just can't get it. And I just don't have it. And, you know, well, here it says, turn you at my reproof. So that means you have a choice whether you want to remain simple-minded and suffer the consequences of it, you know, whether you want to love simplicity or actually change and gain knowledge. He says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. That's a great promise. Amen. Oh, man, I don't know about the book of Leviticus and the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. I'd rather just stick to the simple stuff in the Bible. Well, here's the thing. If you are willing to move on to perfection not meaning sinlessness, perfection meaning completeness, maturity, wisdom, God says, turn, okay? He'll pour his spirit upon you and he'll teach you the complexities of the Word of God. Amen. You understand? He will help you to decipher that which is difficult to understand in the Bible. Okay, so that even though you're not a pastor, you're not a deacon, you're not an evangelist, you're not full-time, so to speak, in church, you know, you as a regular, you know, layman or a person who sits in church can open up the Word of God and teach others because you've gained wisdom. You've left simplicity. You have forsaken the state of simplicity and moved on to the complexities of God's Word because God will teach you those things. The Bible says that the Spirit of God, you know, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And it's that Holy Spirit that dwells within us that teaches us these things. Now, obviously, it's not going to be overnight. It's not like you just get saved yesterday and then tomorrow you're just like solving every problem. You know, you're just deciphering every single code in the Bible. You just understand everything. Obviously, it takes time. It takes years of reading God's Word, understanding God's Word, praying, and familiarizing yourself with the content of the Bible in order to learn these things. And sometimes God doesn't teach you right away just because you're not ready for it.
Right.
It's just a lot for you to digest. You understand? But there does come a point where you recognize that you're simple-minded concerning the Word of God. And you say, I want to move on. You know, I want to learn something new.
Yeah.
And not new as in like it's never been taught before. It's just new to you.
Right.
Something that you've never learned, but obviously preachers have been preaching it for thousands of years. Okay? He says in verse 24, because I have called. Now, what's the consequence if you don't choose to turn? He says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. Now, I mean, God has a sense of humor, folks.
Amen.
You know, it might disturb you a little bit, you know, what a sense of humor is like. He says here, he's going to laugh at you when you fall in your calamity because of your rejection of knowledge.
Right.
That's not my God. Well, that's the God of the Bible.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, are we reading the same? Look, I will laugh. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, he says. You say, oh, man, why would God do that? Because you're not listening. You're not listening. So if he's constantly telling you, here's wisdom, here's prudence, here's knowledge, do this, turn you, I will pour out my spirit. He's giving you every resource imaginable for you to understand wisdom and gain knowledge. And you say, nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm going to remain simple-minded. God says, okay, then when your calamity comes upon you, I'm going to laugh at you then. Because you're making a mockery of me, is basically what he's saying. Because you're obviously not taking serious what God's Word says. That's why when we listen to God's Word being preached or even read God's Word and we come across passages where he makes sin look exceeding sinful, we need to give heed to that.
Amen.
And understand that God's not playing around.
Right.
God's not playing around. He means business. And if you take it lightly, if you esteem lightly the rock of your salvation, at that point you will fall and your calamity shall be laughed at and mocked at by God. Okay, and as the Bible puts it, you actually become a byword and a proverb.
Right.
I mean, the Bible talks about people becoming a byword and a proverb because of the rejection of God's Word. Look at verse 32. He says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them. It can cost you your life. He says, it shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Go to Proverbs chapter 22, if you would. Proverbs chapter 22. We're talking about the simple man here. You know, if you remain in simplicity and you bask in your simplicity and being simple-minded, it can be to your detriment. It can destroy your life. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. You see, I thought we were talking about the simple one. Well, the simple one is a fool.
Right.
The difference being that he just doesn't have knowledge. The fool has the knowledge but rejects it. The simple-minded does not have the knowledge but will still suffer the same consequences as the fool. And the Bible says that the fool will die for want of wisdom. Want means lack. Proverbs 22, verse 1, look what the Bible says. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. So here we see the example of a prudent man. He's looking ahead. He's planning ahead. And he can foresee evil. He sees evil coming down the pipeline. And because there's enough space between him and that event, prudence tells him, I need to prepare for this event. So what does he do? He hides himself. He escapes whatever evil shall come upon him when that evil arrives. Look what it goes on to say. The prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The simple's like, not really caring, doesn't really read the Bible to know. And look, I'm not saying, you know, you got to know what the news says. You got to know what all the news outlets are talking about in order to foresee evil. Folks, we foresee evil as God's people through God's word.
Amen.
We discern, we have understanding of the times like the sons of Issachar because of God's word.
Right.
And we already know what's going to happen. Because, I mean, how many of you have read the book of Revelation already? That's us foreseeing evil. We already know what's going to take place.
Amen.
So when people are like, the vaccine is the mark of the beast, it's like, you obviously are not prudent. You are simple-minded concerning the word of God, my friend. Because the vaccine is taken, or excuse me, the mark of the beast is taken in the right hand or in the forehead. And as far as I know, no one's ever taken a vaccine in their forehead. Dr. Rita, have you ever heard of anybody taking a vaccine in their forehead? We have a doctor here. No. Yeah, but I know someone and they know all the complexities and they know about all the conspiracies. Folks, yeah, but we know the word of God.
Amen.
Their testimony is not sure. Testimonies of the Lord are sure. They're not deficit. You know, God's word is not, doesn't have a deficit of knowledge or wisdom. We're able to foresee the future, not like in a charismatic Pentecostal way. I'm talking about we're able to foresee the future because the future has already been given to us here in the word of God.
Amen.
So we foresee evil and we can hide ourselves from the evil day. But here's the thing. You know, if you choose to remain simple-minded, look, you could be simple-minded and have worldly knowledge, but you're simple-minded concerning the word of God. Okay, he says the simple pass on and are punished by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life, the Bible says. Go to Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs chapter number 7. Talk about the simple one. Are you simple-minded today? Are you lacking the complexities of knowledge and wisdom and prudence? The Bible says that knowledge crieth at the gates. Knowledge and wisdom are seeking you out. And it's not difficult to have wisdom. We can get it by praying. The Bible says we can gain wisdom. We can gain wisdom by being with wise men. And we can gain wisdom from God's word.
Amen.
Okay, we don't have to remain simple-minded in the things of God or just even in the things of life. So the simple man loves simplicity to his detriment. Never have this attitude, well, you know, I'm a Baptist, so I'm just, you know, I don't really know anything about the world. I don't really know anything about life. I don't know anything about marriage. All I know is soul winning. And that's good to know soul winning, amen?
Amen.
But aren't we supposed to be well-rounded Christians?
Right.
Where we know the word of God. We know how to lead a family. We know the intricacies of prophecy. We know how to raise children. We know how to be functioning members of society.
Amen.
We want to be well-rounded, perfect. Perfect means complete. Amen?
Amen?
Do not remain simple-minded. Do not bask in your simplicity. It's going to be to your detriment. Number two, simplicity is common among the youth. It's common among the youth. It's often the young people who are very simple-minded.
That's right.
He said, give me an age range. Okay? The person who asked that, that's you. You're in that age range. Okay? But this is common. Obviously, we understand that children are simple-minded. That's why parents, we have to protect our children.
Amen.
That's why they're very easily moldable. You know, we got to protect them from what they hear, what they see, because anybody can influence the simple-minded as our children. You know, our children are easily influenced. We have to protect that. And that's another good definition of being simple-minded is you're easily influenced. Okay? But as you grow, even as a young adult, you know, a teenager, you can still be simple-minded. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse number 6. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. So he's looking through his window and he's like, oh man, look at all these simple guys. Look at all these simple-minded guys, right? And he's looking at the youth. And then he kind of filters through this group and he sees one guy who's just void of understanding. Now, why does he particularly pick on this guy? Verse 8, passing through the street near her corner. Now, the her is referring to the whore that the Bible is describing also. The prostitute, okay? And he went the way to her house. So why does Solomon say this guy is void of understanding? He's a simple-minded person. Well, number one, because he's passing near the street of the whore's corner and he's going the way to her house. What is he doing? He's making provision for the flesh. Look what it says in verse 9. In the twilight, in the evening. You know the people who are out most of the time late at night? Young people. Us old codgers, we want to go to sleep. We're tired. We got to work in the morning. We got things to do. We're not trying to be out late at night. Unless it's after church. And we're with each other, amen? But I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Young people who just want to go out late at night. And you know what? When you're out late at night, your will is at its weakest. As we can see here, he says, in the twilight, in the evening. Well, how late? In the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Now, remember in chapter 1 of Proverbs, the Bible says to give subtlety to the simple. And here we see that the harlot, or the woman with the attire of a harlot, is subtle of heart. What does that mean? She has more discernment than this guy. She's smarter than him. Look at verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. Oh, you're so cute. You look so good. Do you work out? I mean, I don't know what fair speech people use today, but, give me something. I don't know. What do the young people say today? Gami, what do the young people say today? Where's a young man here who's not void of understanding? Huh? Damien. Damien, what do they say today, Damien? You know why he doesn't know? Because he's not out in the twilight, in the evening, in the dark night. That's why. He's like, how would I know? I'm not simple-minded. I'm simple concerning evil. Amen. Good move, Damien. So she has more discernment than him, and with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. Yield to what? To the flesh. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life, the Bible says. So he's so simple-minded, he doesn't know that this is going to destroy his life. Right. That this woman with the attire of a harlot is a whore, prostitute, she, smooth talks him, talks about how handsome he is, or, I don't know how they spoke in these days, He has legs as pillars, just his teeth are as white as goat's milk and all these things, And she's flattering him, and he ends up destroying his life because of it. Why? Because he's simple-minded. Right. Solomon is looking, observing this young man from a distance. And he's saying, they're all simple-minded, but this guy's really simple-minded. Because he's following after temptation. He's not protecting himself. He's not being wise concerning evil. He's not being wise concerning good and simple concerning evil. Go to Proverbs 9. Proverbs chapter 9, if you would. And this is common amongst the youth. Okay? The youth, when they're out there in the world, they're just getting involved in all kinds of nonsense and craziness and fornication and drugs because of peer pressure. They never take into consideration the consequences of it. They don't foresee the evil of doing that act or being with this person or hanging around this group or going there at night. They don't foresee the consequences. Therefore, they pass on and they're punished because of it. Okay? Look at verse 17 of Proverbs chapter 9. It says, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. For all you keto guys out there breaking keto. No, I'm just kidding. Verse 18, but he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So we see that the youth, who are simple-minded only care for that which is immediate, the immediate gratification, which would mean that that person is simple-minded. Okay? He's not taking into consideration that if he goes with this woman, it's like a cemetery. He says the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. I mean, this is pretty strong language. You say, well, how do I just not be simple-minded then? Well, this is how you can deter simple-mindedness and avoid it. Listen to what I just read. Amen. So if we're all reading the same passage, you can read that and say, well, I'm not going to go out late at night by myself. Right. Or if my girlfriend calls me, for you young ladies, you know, wants to go out late at night, I'm not going to do it. The only time I'm going to go out late at night is with my parents. We go get an ice cream, go hang out. Oh, but that's so boring, though. Go hang out with my parents. Oh, yeah, I mean, getting an STD is so much more exciting. Yeah, getting HIV, potentially getting raped, getting drunk, getting, you know, killed, way more exciting than getting a Cold Stone's ice cream with your parents. Folks, the Cold Stone's ice cream is free. The HIV is going to cost you something more than you want to pay. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. So young people can often be simple-minded. Okay? It's common among the youth. That's why, parents, it's important to keep your kids and teenagers in church.
Amen.
So they can learn wisdom. How do they learn wisdom? By the preaching of God's word, but also being around older, godlier men.
Amen.
Who can school your young man to be a wise young man.
Amen.
Right.
There's a lot of idiot teenagers out there. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Right? There's a lot of teenagers out there that are just doing crazy stuff. It's like, what happened to the youth? It's just getting worse and worse and worse. We want to preserve the youth here, amen? Doesn't mean they can't have fun and have a great time. I mean, we want our young people to stay young and you know, enjoy their youth right now, but to be wise about it.
Amen.
Okay, to be protected, to have wisdom, to be people of knowledge, and you will stand out. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. So here's an example of a young man. It's not a bad guy. Samuel. He's simple. Why? Because he can't really discern the voice of God. But he's noble because he said, here am I. He's polite, got some manners.
Amen.
And he goes to Eli, the man of God, who should have some discernment, you know, who should be listening to God's word. He goes to him, he's like, here am I. And he's just like, I didn't call you. He says in verse 5, and ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. It shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel's a great example of this because he's kind of simple-minded. After a while, we as adults would be like, okay, this is obviously the Lord. You know, if we're in his position and we're already older, Eli obviously understood. But Samuel is young and he can't really discern. So what does he need? He needs someone older to teach them to hear the voice of the Lord.
That's good. Right. Amen.
To discern the voice of God.
Amen.
And so what I'm saying is this, is that young men and young ladies, you know, you're here in church. What are we doing? We're helping you to hear the voice of God. You understand? And no, not an audible voice. Like, you hear that? That's him. I'm talking about hearing God's word from God's word.
Amen. Right.
From the preaching of God's word. You understand? To be able to discern what God is speaking to you about. Okay? What God is saying through his word. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:1, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with strong meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, etc. So what he's saying here is that certain people are still simple-minded, even as Christians, because of the fact that they're carnal, they're not capable of understanding, they're babes in Christ. Go to Proverbs chapter 9. What Proverbs are you guys in? Oh, no, you guys are in Samuel. Go to Proverbs chapter 9, if you would. Proverbs 9. I'm going to read to you from a couple other verses. Proverbs 8, verse 5 says, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Verse 25, O ye simple, understand wisdom. Or verse 6, Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Proverbs 9, verse 4 says, Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. This is a good call for young people. Young people, forsake the foolishness. Forsake the childish things of this world. Forsake your friends that just kind of live and just like nonsense and have no purpose in life. Forsake that. Get around people who are actually doing something with their life.
Amen.
You know, people who like, you know, have like this thing called the job. They have like a schedule. There's like church, work, gym, or jujitsu. You know, where their extracurricular activity is actually something productive.
Amen.
Not like some video game or something.
Right.
Get around people who actually are being productive with their lives in order for you to gain wisdom. Look at Proverbs 9, verse 13. This is a pretty rough verse here. Look what it says, verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. It's loud. Loud. That's what I mean. They're loud mouths is what it's referring to. You want to give you an example? He's simple-minded. I'm trying to help perfect his knowledge. Clamorous means they're being a loudmouth.
Right.
They're just kind of going off and not. They don't have a filter. They're not discreet. Okay? And look what it says. She is simple. And what? Knoweth nothing.
That's right. Yeah.
Ouch. So when you see a loudmouth, oh, this is a good Sunday morning little service here. You know, when you see a loudmouth, according to the Bible, it should automatically tell you this woman knoweth nothing. Because she doesn't understand that this is making her look bad according to the Bible.
Amen.
It's very unattractive.
Yep.
Are we good or what?
Amen.
I'm preaching the Bible today, amen. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. See, but a woman who is not simple, the opposite of that is what? Discreet.
Amen.
And both men and women need to learn discretion. Because
right.
there's some men who are loud mouths too. You know what I'm saying? There's some men who just open their mouths too much.
Right.
Okay? And what does it show? They're simple. They know nothing. They're not self-aware. Right? So discretion is the ability to understand that you're aware of yourself. You are aware of the decibels of your voice. You're aware of the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Right.
Could it be offensive to others around me? Etc. Verse 14, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their way. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith him, stolen waters are sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So this foolish woman who is simple may not have the worst intentions, but she's just kind of like making friends with all guys. Kind of basically is talking about like a flirt here. She sitteth at the door of her house. What does that mean? She's idle. She's sitting at the door of her house means she's idle. She's not doing anything. And when you're idle, an idle mind is the devil's workshop.
That's right.
You could just get involved in all kinds of stuff.
Right.
She's sitting at the door of her house. Why are you sitting there? Go bake something. There's a pie baking contest coming up.
Amen.
Go like learn how to bake a pie so you can win.
Amen.
You're a male chauvinist. On a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their way. She's just talking to random people. And then, of course, they get in trouble. And so this is among the youths, okay? This is possible among the youths. So you say, well, what should I do as a young lady to make sure this is not what I'm doing? Well, here is a lost virtue of today. It's called reading.
Amen.
Reading books.
That's right.
You know, make an activity of going to the library, getting some old books, learning something. You know, if you're not in a Christian home where your parents are exemplifying Christian virtues, you know, find a mother in the church who you can kind of shadow and learn things from.
Amen.
You know, it's of my opinion, because the Bible says it, that women ought to be keepers at home.
That's right.
Learn how to love their husbands and raise their children. I mean, that's a successful position according to the Bible.
Amen.
That's a lofty position according to the Bible.
That's right.
And if you don't agree with that, then you just don't agree with the Bible. Because this is what the Bible says. That's what God said.
Yeah.
You know? And so young ladies should learn how to be mothers, how to be wives, how to be a housewife, how to keep the home, how to learn these things. You say, where am I supposed to learn? Well, there's a bunch of wives here who do that.
That's right.
So
yeah.
Learn from them.
Amen.
Be around them, learn from them, etc. Okay? Don't be a simple-minded girl. Don't be a simple-minded young man. Get some wisdom.
Amen.
Go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, number 3, the simple are gullible.
That's right.
Yeah.
What does it mean to be gullible? Well, look what Proverbs 14, 15 says. The simple believeth every word. Every YouTube channel. Every Instagram post. Every Facebook post. Every statement. They just believe everything. You know, we condemn these so-called fact checkers on Facebook. And the reason we condemn them is because they say this is not true, but they don't give a reason why.
Yeah.
That's not based on their narrative. You know, but you know what? We should be fact checkers, amen?
Right.
We should prove all things, hold fast that which is good.
Amen.
And when information comes our way, we should take that information, regardless of the severity of the accusation, and say, well, let's investigate this to see if it's true.
Right.
The simple, on the other hand, are so gullible, they just believe everything. Yeah. Oh, that person said it, so it's true. Folks, the only thing that a person we can take at face value is God.
That's right.
And when God says it, it's true. Every other person, you know, we need to have some an investigative spirit, not a critical spirit, but a spirit that says, well, I'm not going to believe it 100% until I see the evidence.
Amen.
The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going, the Bible says. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Don't be a simple-minded person and just believe everything that people say.
That's
if
right.
They don't have any evidence to back things up.
Right.
And I'm trying really hard not to steal my thunder for tonight. Okay? But just because a pastor gets up and starts, you know, saying stuff, and even if he says it with fervor or just sincerity, you know, people can be sincerely wrong.
That's right.
Doesn't matter who it is. Hey, it doesn't even matter. Even if it's me, folks. That's why I tell you to bring your Bibles to church.
Right.
Amen.
That way you can prove all things, hold fast that which is good.
Yeah. Right.
Investigate the truth that I'm telling you.
Right.
If you don't think it's true, investigate it then. I have no problem with that. Come talk to me after the service.
Amen.
If you want.
Amen.
I have no problem with that. Question it. If you are sincere about it, question it.
Right.
No problem answering those things. The issue is when you have pastors who make statements and they don't want to be questioned.
Right.
They make accusations, but they don't want to be questioned about it.
Right. Well, right.
Where did you get this from? Oh, are you trying to be rebellious or something? No, I just want to know where you got it from.
Right?
You know, we should be able to go to a church where the pastor is willing to talk to the congregants.
Amen.
Where, you know, the pastor's not lording over the flock. I said it, so therefore it's true. Don't question my authority type thing. You should be able to have a conversation with the pastor.
Amen.
And say, hey, you said women ought to be keepers at home? That seems a little much there, pastor. Can you prove that from the Bible? I'll show you.
Amen.
Other people are like, no. Just believe me. Like as if there's some sort of final authority or something. But the simple, here's the problem. I don't want a church of simple-minded people.
Amen.
Because look, when you have a church of simple-minded people, the pastor can say whatever he wants.
Right. Yeah.
Because no one's going to question him.
That's right.
He can say he's flat earth. He can say that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. He can make all kinds of railing accusations against anybody. And if it's a simple-minded church, they won't even question it.
Yeah.
They'll just say, well, I stand by my pastor. Like, by his lies.
Yeah.
By his lack of evidence.
That's right.
And look, I'm all for loyalty, folks.
Amen. Amen.
I'm for loyalty.
Amen.
But here's the thing, loyalty with principles behind it.
Amen.
And the principle is this, is like, you know, this should be factual statements that you're making.
Right.
And it's not to say that we're not going to make mistakes, because I'm a pastor. I've made mistakes, even in the 4 years that I pastored here. Over 4 years? Going on five, right? Yeah. You know, I made some mistakes. Yeah, I made a mistake right there. You know, even I've made mistakes, and I've owned up to them. And if when people tell me, hey, you made a mistake here, I'll own up to it and say, oh, yeah, you're right. I did make a mistake. Because we're human. You understand?
Right.
We make mistakes too. But the reality is this, is that I don't want a church of simple-minded people. I want wise people in the church.
Amen.
And not have a church that's just a bunch of yes men.
That's right. Yeah.
We don't want contrarians, but we don't want yes men either.
Right.
We want somewhere in the middle where you have wisdom.
Amen.
Okay? And not just believe every word that goes out there. You're gullible.
Amen.
You're simple-minded. You'll believe anything that some preacher gets up and says and yells and screams about with no evidence to back it up. You're being simple-minded. Don't get offended. That's just biblical.
Amen.
Look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. He's like, you're so simple-minded that if people come with these damnable heresies, you might even just put up with it. Just because you're so gullible. Well, maybe he didn't mean it that way. Well, maybe that's not really what he meant. That's not really what he said. When it's like recorded,
right.
When he live streams it, he puts it on his videos or whatever. He said it like 3 times or something. You might bear with him. Don't be a simple-minded church. Some pastors out there, even in the old IFB, would rather have a simple-minded church. That way they can just fly off the handle, say whatever they want. They can say, don't study the Bible. All you need to do is know Jesus. Just don't study the Bible. And people in that church will accept that. And that's a true story. Of the church that I helped start years ago in Monterey Park, where the pastor of that church got up and said that. Okay? And there's plenty of witnesses for that. They don't study the Bible, only know Jesus. Like, what? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me.
Yeah.
Search the scriptures. Eve was an example of this, was she not? She just believed what the serpent told her. Go to 1 Kings chapter 13. We're almost done. Actually, we're going to skip that because it's a long passage. I'll just give you an overview of that passage. Just believe me, okay? Go to Proverbs 19. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. But you can write it down. Proverbs, 1 Kings 13 verse 11 is the story of the young prophet and the old prophet. And God commanded the young prophet to a specific task. The old prophet came and heard about it and basically lied to the young prophet and said, hey, God told me that you shouldn't stay here. You should go with me. And the young prophet, because he's gullible, even though he's godly, even though he's a prophet, even though he loves the Lord, he was gullible, he believed him, went with the old prophet, and ended up being slain by a lion because God said, you disobeyed me.
Yep.
So that's an example of someone who is godly, they're righteous, they're a prophet, they know the Bible to a certain extent, but yet they're gullible, they just believe every word. It was the old prophet who said this, therefore I'm just going to believe it. What he should have done is said, Lord, did you speak by this man's mouth? Is this really what you said? Instead, he just believed it. Don't believe every word. Don't be simple-minded. Last one, number 4, and I'm done. The simple learn from the punishment of the scorner. So a good way for you to learn, if you're simple-minded, is by observing the punishment of the scorner. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 19, 25. Smite the scorner. Smite is an old word for sock them. Slap them.
Right.
Hit them.
Right.
Smite the scorner and the simple will beware.
Yep.
Now, those of you with children know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
When you smite the scorner in your family, the other children are like, they're all acting all wild, and one of them just goes, you know, they cross that line, and he's the one that gets the spanking. All of them are like, what do? They beware. They learn from the punishment of the scorner. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. Go to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. So the simple is made aware. Like, whoa, this guy's getting it. I've got to make sure I don't do what he's doing. I'm going to beware. Verse 11 of Proverbs 21. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge, the Bible says. Go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. This is important. So one way that you can understand or to gain knowledge and transition from simplicity to wisdom is by observing the punishment of fools and scorners and people who just cross the line. Let me just say this. This is one of the reasons why we practice church discipline.
Amen.
Okay, our church believes in church discipline. I don't mean like smiting people and stuff. I don't hit anybody here, okay? But what we do is, like, if a person is guilty of the sins in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you can look up that sermon if you want. There's particular sins that you can actually get kicked out of church for. If you're unrepentant. It's not like if you're committing that right now, we're just like, people are coming through the doors like, did you fornicate? Did you drink? Did you do? Are you an extortioner? Are you doing these things? Obviously, that's not the case. People think that that's how we do it. That's not what we do. If a person is doing that, we find out about it and we confront that person and say, hey, are you committing fornication? Yeah. Okay. Well, this is what the Bible says about it. Here are your options. You can stay here, but you have to stop committing fornication, or you have to get married to the person. You know, God forbid that you would get married, right? You know, you could get married to them, or if you don't agree with that, then you can't come to this church. And if they say something to the extent of like, well, I'm going to keep fornicating, or I'm not going to stop, like, okay, then you can't come here. It's the devil or something. Nah. Never falsely accuse the devil of things like that, okay? That is a false accusation. They're just weak stance is what it is. We excommunicate them, meaning we kick them out of the church. You understand? And so, and look, this is something that publicly takes place. So we go before the church and say, these people were kicked out of our church because of X, Y, and Z. Say, why would you do that? Because so the simple will beware.
That's right.
Be like, oh, you know what? I think it's time for us to get married. Yeah, that's a really good idea because I don't want to get kicked out of church. I like this church. It's kind of embarrassing to get kicked out of a church because we're drinking alcohol because we're extortioners or whatever, railing or whatever. And they're like, I'd rather just get that right. So what does it do? It causes the simple to beware. It causes them to be wise, and it causes them to get right with God.
Amen.
The Bible says, them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear. So the punishment, the chastisement on an individual helps others to get right with God. Okay, look at Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. This is another passage that reinforces church discipline. Because when it says mark them, it doesn't mean like you grab a Sharpie and you put it on their forehead. They can stay in church, but they're going to have this mark on their forehead so that you know you stay away from them or something. That's not what it's talking about. Mark them basically says they can't be here, or even if it's someone who's not from our congregation, which I'm going to be marking people tonight, just to let you know that.
Amen.
You know, spoiler alert. You mark them. In other words, you tell people, stay away from this person because they're guilty of a railing accusation. They're committing this. They're unrepentant. They're not willing to get right with God. And we do that, and we tell them, avoid them. Verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So these people affect simple-minded people. So marking them helps the simple to step it up a notch and become wise. You understand? And let me just go ahead and say it. I don't want to pastor stupid people.
Amen.
Amen? Amen?
That's right.
That's rude. Well, I don't think you're stupid, so we're good. I think everyone here has a level of wisdom. But there might be someone here who is simple-minded. And I want to help you to transition from simple-mindedness to wisdom and knowledge.
Amen.
To be a wise person. Why not? Why not be a person of superior knowledge and wisdom from God's word?
That's right.
Why would you want to be a person of inferior knowledge and just be simple-minded and allow all the punishments of this world to come upon you because you're ignorant of it? Take advantage of the source of wisdom, which is the word of God, Jesus Christ. Take advantage of this preaching to gain wisdom, to gain knowledge, and forsake simplicity. Amen? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we're thankful for the men of wisdom and knowledge who taught us. And of course, we all started simple. And we had a deficit of knowledge and wisdom. We had a void, Lord, and someone helped us along the way to teach us. And I pray, God, that you help us to give heed to that, Lord. And if there's areas in our life that we're simple-minded in, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to perfect that area, to gain wisdom, to gain knowledge, prudence, that we may adhere to the testimonies of the Lord. We love you and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.